Yeah, and welcome. Now I've got the right one. I called up the wrong. I was dialing into the switchboard instead of the studio, and I thought, what? Something's gone wrong. The picture's not right. Anyway, hello and welcome. It is May the 5th, or as they say, May the Sith be with you. My guest tonight is my dear friend and I don't know what we're doing. I was going to say co-conspiracy. It's no conspiracy. It's completely out in the open.
Gaia's groupies. I've been calling myself a Gaia groupie.
Welcome, Nancy Hopkins. How are you, dear?
I'm doing fine, Jay. And you?
I'm all right. As I said, a little bit of a headache. I can't remember when I started complaining about this headache. It must have been about a week ago. But it's a bell curve of a headache, you know. It got really intense on Friday, and has sort of been dying away, but it's not gone. So, you know, whether it's a sort of a liver cleansing thing, detox, or whether I'm going to die tomorrow. Anyway, welcome. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing fine. I'm so glad to come back to this week on the show, because last week we talked about the Shungite store, and it is up.
Ta-da! It's great, because it's really nice to actually take us on the journey, you know, because we're learning stuff together, and now you've managed to find some suppliers, and you've got a shop front, so you're all set. So where can people go to have a look at this stuff?
Go to cosmicreality.net, and on the up in the tab, you'll see the Shungite store. And already, okay, I put it up last night, and it was about 8 o'clock. We're not sure. We can't remember. But by 8:30, we had the first sale. And I can tell you that today, a quarter of what I had up has already been sold. I just looked at it, and I was like, whoa, you know? So I'm going to apologize out front if you hit on something and it says sold out. Because the way it's set up, you don't see that on the initial picture. And I'm going to try to get them down and get more up there tomorrow. But right now, like I say, we gave it a lot of press, and there's people out there waiting for it, you know. So God bless them that they're jumping on it.
That's absolutely awesome, Nancy. And it's a good thing you got that big box of Shungite.
Well, yeah, and then I got another one. What happened was that I think I told you this story. I was researching Shungite, and I came across a local U.S. Distributor who was claiming he was getting it from the only mine that you should get it from. And I said, well, the price looks right, but I'm going to take a chance. So I take a chance because of the time it was taking to get from Estonia to me. And so I get a thing, yes, it's been shipped from Germany. And I went, oh, no, yeah. But it came pretty quick, and it was another kilogram of Shungite, but it was obviously from a different part of the field. Beautiful stuff, just absolutely beautiful. Maybe even, I don't know. I mean, it's all good because it all, what we think is, and it is a we now because I've got, you know, like five different people that are working with me on this thing. And a lot of them are researching. Some of them are trying to make different products up. Like one of my friends has a 5-year-old and was given a pendant, and she loves it. Okay, but the baby kept going for everything that was Shungite, was being drawn to it, and yet we didn't know what to do because of swallowing hazards. You know, these are not this big. So finally, I said, well, she can't swallow this, and we gave her a big piece of Shungite, but they're these big pieces. You can go online in eBay and you can get pyramids, pretty good sized pyramids. Like I saw one that was about 2 inches by 2 inches, and it was I think it was under $15, but then there was like, you know, shipping on it, so probably under $20. So you can get machined, because they're obviously machined, pyramids and different like bears, and I don't know what else they've got out there. But every time something hits a machine, it really does disrupt its energy field. The only stuff that really is powerful is stuff that comes right out of the ground and has been untouched as much as possible. So you need the raw stuff. And when I can't seem to get a lot of big pieces of the raw stuff. So obviously we couldn't get big pieces. Plus the price goes up on them because they're scarce. I couldn't give them to the kids. So a friend of mine said, what if we take teddy bears and then open them up and put the shungite inside the teddy bear and then sew them back up? And I said, whoa. Because it seems like the energy field off of the shungite is like 4 inches. And the reason I know that is because we were watching a friend of ours put a shungite energy device that I'll talk about in a minute on a router, and she was 4 inches away before we felt the shift in the energy. So I've got people that are really into this, and they're thinking about different ways of out, because like I say, my new mission statement is shungite to the masses, and I believe it's Gaia's gift to us. So the pendants are up. Some of the bigger pieces are up. There's pet pendants. I took the pendants I've had them on the dog, and the dog keeps getting better and better. I mean, today she always has a salad, and she ate her salad, and she was eating her dinner, and the big guy, the young one, he's 3 years old, he had his dish out. But he had walked away from it, and I kind of spaced it out, but I needed to go out and water the plants. And that took me 5 minutes to water the plants on the porch, right? I come back in. She had eaten his food, too. So it's like, well, I guess you're not going to die today. So she's doing better. But anyway, we made these pet pendants that are, they're like pendants, but they're with copper. And it's a heavy-duty copper, so they can't hurt it's not going to fall apart, and they're not going to knock it, or, you know, whatever they want to do, they can do. I'll tell you, I've not seen an animal that wasn't attracted to it, particularly birds. You were mentioning the birds. A friend has the lovebird, and the lovebird is just so attracted to this field. And, we could get in. What do you want to talk about today? We could talk more about shungite. I can talk about the electromagnetic testing that we had done. What do you want?
She's talking about birds. You know, because my Monday audience won't know, but I got some rescued chickens on Friday. They've been being bullied by the other birds, one of the other bigger chickens, and the guy who ran the farm is a member of our local exchange. You know that we run this local money called Let's, and we trade in it. And anyway, he's been selling his eggs, so I bought for £20 and 10 Let's. Two chickens that needed a home, and I've spent all of my available daytime in the last 3 days building this palace for them, and I'm more or less finished. I just need to get some kind of hinge mechanism going. I'm not very good at hinges. I haven't been able to figure out hinges yet. I've built an A-frame, and I got the box and everything, but the hinges are just getting my head around. You know, when you open the thing, the bits that stick out will then poke into the edge of the box, and you don't want that. So you have to hinge it cleverly. So I haven't got there yet, but that's tomorrow's project. They're currently fast asleep in there. So what I was thinking is that I could put a piece of shungite somewhere. Where would it be a good place? Do you want it sort of out of the way? Do you want it in the roof, in the gable, where, or on each corner? What would be the best placing, do you think?
There's no electric there. I mean, if you had electric, you put it on the electric, because of the, we'll get into that. But for chickens, probably the best way to get it to them is, they actually did put powdered shungite in chicken feed. And it was supposedly low-grade chicken feed that had toxins in it. And the birds just thrived on it. There's reports that animals that are taking the shungite powder in are getting nutrients and whatever else, you know, the fullerenes, I don't know what else, but that they're living twice as long as that they as the norm. So, but you don't have that amount of shungite, you know, to be able to deal with that right now. So what I would say is to, they drink water, don't they? I'm assuming chickens drink water.
Yeah, they seem to be pecking it around from the farm, but I get you. I can put some water, some shungite water in a place where they can drink it. Or put a piece in the bowl.
Say again?
A piece into their bowl, yeah.
Yeah, but they may try to eat that. I don't know if it gets down to the bottom. Because what I did was I developed this thing called what I'm calling a bucky cage. And it's a it's copper wire that is spun to make a cage, you know, twisted to make a cage. And inside that, we're putting the smaller pieces of shungite. So that instead of having loose shungite in your water, all you've got is this bucky cage that is holding it all, and you just take it and, you know, rinse out your glass and then put it back in there. The first one that the one I started using in that way had gold, silver on copper, and that wire was it puts off a different type of energy, but it wasn't as solid, it wasn't holding it as well, and so I decided no, we're going to go back to the copper, and you said something about the effervescence, the bubbles that start with the shungite. Well, I wasn't getting it off of the one that I had, but it was funny because I didn't even put it in the water. My friend did. I said, look at this. I said, it seems to work even better on the electric things, because if you take and you put it on an electric like the router, well, you did it last night. Did you feel a difference in the way the room felt?
Well, it was a very weird thing. It almost knocked me over. It was like a soft wave. You know, like you're paddling. And, you know, a larger wave comes, and it's a bit larger than you expected, and actually it lifts you up. It was a bit like that sort of kind of feeling as I walked away from it. It was like a slowly spreading, rippling out field. It was, you know, it was like something out of a sci-fi movie, if I could picture it. You know, obviously I couldn't visualize it, but that was what it felt like. It just seemed to, and I basically got some tape and some gaffer tape and taped it to the outside of the router box.
And you used only a couple of the small ones that you had for the water, correct?
Yeah, kind of inch pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter how big it is, but the problem is, if you just put a piece on something, you're going to forget it's there, and you're going to be vacuuming or dusting, and it's going to be gone. You know, so, and because I had already done that. I'd already thrown out a big piece. To be honest, it looked like a dog turd, and I thought it was a dog turd. Because the old girl, she has accidents. And she's sitting there, she's standing there looking at it, and I'm thinking, because sometimes it surprises her. She goes, like, where did this thing come from? She's got her back is seizing together, what do they call it? Fusing together. And so she can't feel the need to do poo. And so these things kind of surprise her. It's like, who did that behind me, for crying out loud? And so she was standing over what looked like a piece of turd to me. And I was like, I just woke up and I went, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, and I pick it up and I throw it in the trash. And it was only later I said to somebody, oh, look at this thing that I've got. And I went, oh my God, and I realized what I'd done. I had to go to the garbage and pull it out. So it's easy not to keep track of your shungite. So I made this, cage thing so that I could put it and know that if it went someplace, at least it was copper and he'd be able to see it versus the black. And, my friend said, can I put this in water? And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so she drops it in a glass of water. And I said, well, JP says when it's ready, you'll see bubbles. And so I said, well, I looked at the time. I said, I'll see how long it takes. And she's looking at it, and she's like, starts tapping her fingers. She says, I'm not waiting for any damn bubbles. And she picks up the glass and starts drinking it, and she looked a little shocked. And I said, what? And she said, here, try this thing. And Jay, the water, the texture of the water had changed. It had lost like its tension. It was soft water, and it definitely had the whole energy field had shifted. And it was not within 3 minutes. And I it didn't surprise me, because anytime you take and coil the water wire around the shungite, it seems to intensify its field. So
you're talking about like making, it's almost like a little tea infuser. You could sow that, you could dip that into water and sell those as water purifiers.
Yes.
Like a tea bag.
Yeah,
and but you can just drip it in, dip it in, dip and drip.
Well, you know, this thing is like a copper cage that's got the shungite in it. So I just drop it in the bottom of the glass, and you know, then I drink off of it every, you know, during the day and refill it and stuff. But I also, because I think dogs, if the water got too low, that the dogs would be into the shungite. The cats, no problem. It's in the cat bowl. But the dogs, it would be a different thing. And so what I do is that I take some of the water and I put it in with their water. I charge it by adding it to their water. And I'll tell you, the old girl yesterday was the first day I wasn't here for 4 hours, so I don't really know how much she was drinking. But yesterday she kept going back and back and back and back for the water. The cats are drinking more water than unless it's outside, so, you know, maybe the squirrels are drinking it too. I don't know. But I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this water's going faster too. But that does have the shungite in it. So yeah, these little cage things are nice because you can put them on the electromagnetic system. And what do you want to do today? Because I can go and we can talk about EMF dangers if you want.
Well, let's start with the idea of what is EMF. We hear these TLAs, these three-letter abbreviations, and you know ELF is extremely low, but frequencies. But this is electromagnetic fields, or electromagnetic force, or something else that begins with F. But we have we're electric beings. How does the body? Let's go back. Our listeners know that you were a warfare technologist in days gone by, electronic warfare. Did any of that information that passed by you relate to the electronic fields, the frequencies that affect the human body? And indeed, not just frequencies, but rhythms and textures. Did that pass by your desk, or was it just about electronics?
It was electronic warfare, and in electronic warfare, you are concerned with protecting the battlefield. So, my first introduction to electronics, basically, battlefield equipment. And what you're looking at is the actual signature of the equipment. For instance, there's a different type of radar for different units. And every radar gives off a different signature, a different electromagnetic profile. So the bad guy can pick up that signal and know that that is a TPS-25 on the other side of the battlefield. If he knows that, he knows what unit is attached to that and what that unit is attached to. So you can basically see the battlefield by looking at all of the electromagnetic signatures on the other side of the divider. You can actually know what kind of a unit is across from you. One of the stranger stories in my career was working with the anti-ear defenses, because before they even set up the anti-ear defenses in the Army, they would turn on the radars. Well, as soon as they turned on the radars, the Soviets would know that they had air defense on the other side of the border. So what I was telling them is that the radars are giving your signature to the enemy. and the enemy is going to send 10,000 rounds of artillery on the site of the radars. Now, this was top secret plus when I was back in the 70s. But right now, it's just, you know, I mean, well, it was with the United States. Everybody else in the world was putting it out as free information, but the United States, oh, a big secret. Well, no, everybody knew it. But the United States was, of all the countries I ever had to work with, the United States is the one that is the most secretive. Everything is secret, secret, secret. So anyway, but that's how I got introduced to all this. So one of the things that they kept saying, they being us guys, was that microwave antennas could not be intercepted because it was a line of sight signal to the next microwave tower and then the next one and the next one. And myself and my engineers figured out that that was absolutely, totally bogus, because when you've got a line of sight radiation coming off a microwave tower, what we did was, The Soviets wanted to build an embassy in D.C., and they wanted it in a specific place. And knowing them, I was very suspicious. So I said to NSA, I said, get your systems, get your little cars out there and ride around the city where they want to put their embassy and find out what kind of signals are dropping in that area. Because what happens is that anytime you have an antenna system, you might have a line of sight to the next antenna, but coming off of both sides and behind it and even above it and below it are all this other radiations, much less than the line of sight, but radiation anyway carrying the signals. So sure enough, NSA went into that area and they found out that through this bizarre thing that you have when you have antennas, that particular site that they wanted to be in was full of all sorts of radio communications from U.S. and all sorts of other embassies in the Washington, D.C. area. It was like the prime place to put your embassy, because on their roofs they would continually put antenna systems that would pick up all this stuff. So when we understood what was happening with the radiation of the microwaves going all over the place, we were very interested in the intelligence gathering, and we found out that with a suitcase-sized piece of equipment, we could pick up every single telephone conversation being carried on any kind of a microwave antenna. Well, what we also found out, because now I'm into a microwave, and I'm studying microwave, and I also became aware that the Soviets were very much into the radiation concept of, you know, what is all, they surpassed us in electro warfare. They surpassed us. But what I also then named the safety person of the unit. So now I'm in the safety thing, and I start to pick up information about the dangers of electromagnetic energy. Now, they weren't talking the type that we talk now. They were talking about the stuff coming off of radars. Because what happened was that they were getting a high level of cancers with people that were associated with operating radars and with not just the operation of them, but even if they were just in the vicinity of a radar system, even if they were outside of what should have been a line of sight radar beam. So that made me suspicious that any electromagnetic field could be dangerous. But what came to this is so interesting. The State Department had a rash of cancers in their people who had been stationed at the embassy, the American embassy, located in the Moscow.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah. So, and because I was the Soviet expert on electronic warfare, well, I was a Soviet expert, when the the question came down to the military system, you know, does anybody know anything about this? I don't know why NSA, maybe it came from NSA, I don't know where it came from, but I got this call and they're telling me what their problem is. And I said, well, I said, go in and meet her and see if there's any microwave being emitted inside the embassy. And of course they questioned me on it, and I said, look, if you take a microwave signal and you just put it in a room, the voices in the room will modulate. In other words, the microwave signal looks like a particular, you know, like a signal, up and down, up and down, up and down, a certain frequency. But when you add voice to the microwave signal, you will have minute changes in that frequency, the way it looks. And that's the way that radio works. Radio has a steady frequency, and anything that is added to it by sound, or in television by video, anything that's added is actually changes to that one signal, okay, your base signal. So what the differences are is computed on the other side and is then becomes voice or video or whatever. But you've got the carrier signal that is a base signal, and all you have to do is put something that will modulate it, change it. It's like an addition to the signal. And that's what they did in Moscow. And so, sure enough, they go in there and they found the microwave emitter in the great seal in the conference room of the embassy. And it was bleeding all through the building, all through the building. I told them, I said, don't stop looking. There may be more. But, you know, once they knew what they were looking, I didn't hear more about it. But when we were doing the testing on Saturday, the guy that had the meters, he starts talking about this very episode, right? He had learned it in a textbook. And I started laughing. I said, well, I was the one that found it. And he said, what? And I said, yeah. And he had been told, the way I interpreted what he said to me, because we were really crunched for time, but it sounded to me like he was told that the Soviets were trying to give them cancer. The embassy employees give them cancer. And I said, no, it wasn't that. It was an accident. They got the cancer. That's how we found the microwave emitter. And he was like, what? And I said, yeah. I said, they were trying to get intelligence. But he wouldn't have been told that. Again, it was high secret that you can do this. We'd been playing with it ourselves, so we knew what it was. But anyway,
That's one of the things about military mindset. And it's the same with the Philadelphia experiment. Is that basically they were heavy-handed about it. They used far too much energy to achieve the job when a lot less would have done it, and they would never been found out because people wouldn't have been made ill.
Exactly. Well, in the wartime of the Philadelphia, they didn't have much time. As a matter, that's an interesting story because Tesla was involved in that. Very few people know that Tesla was actually involved.
Even fewer know that Einstein was involved.
Einstein was the guy that said, hey, you know, you might be able to, he was going over the information. They originally wanted to fool the radar. And they felt that if they made an electromagnetic field around a ship, that the radar wouldn't be able to see it. You know, that it was for torpedoes. The torpedoes would come in, it would feel the electromagnetic field that is generated by a ship moving through the ocean. So it didn't have to hit the hull of the ship. All it had to do was get in the electromagnetic field of the ship itself, and that would set off the detonator. So what they were trying to do was basically fool the torpedo by putting an electromagnetic field that was farther out so that when it hit, it would blow up, but it would be too far from the ship to actually do any damage. So that was what they were designing. And Einstein got involved in it because he said, well, you know, if you take this theory a little bit further, you may be able to fool radar. And he said, and if you take it a little bit further, you might be able to bend light, and so that it would go invisible. So it was the first kind of cloaking device that they got into. And Tesla was working on it, and he said, absolutely, we cannot do this. We will bend space-time. And so the rumor. I can't say that it's been completely documented, but these rumors tend to be true, is that Tesla sabotaged the initial experiment, because there was one that seemed to have failed. The guy's name is Nichols. What is his name?
Preston Nichols.
Yeah, he... say again?
Preston Nichols.
He was the other guy that was involved in this, and he had built a second backup that Tesla didn't know about. And it was the second backup system that actually ran the Philadelphia experiment. And, of course, when you are mucking with the electromagnetic field of anything the way that they did, and they basically just put a huge electromagnetic field up that bent time and space, because everything is energy. If everything is energy, then time and space is dependent upon that energy, because there is no time. Place and space, the relationship. So if you change the electromagnetic configuration of something, you have essentially changed place. And that's what the problem was. Once you warped place, all of a sudden time started to readjust, because it wasn't in the same relationship. And Tesla, he was very much afraid of what would happen when they did this, and he was absolutely correct.
He was spot on. Interestingly, the remake of the Philadelphia Experiment movie, it was a sort of made-for-TV thing, mentions Tesla in the first 10 minutes about 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're saying, oh, yeah, thank you, Mr. Tesla, and all this. And the measurement is in Tesla, so they're going 1 Tesla, 2 Tesla, 3 Tesla.
It's funny.
And it's like, yeah, okay, we get it. It's Mr. Tesla. He was part of it. Yeah, very good. So
anyway.
Yeah. So in electromagnetic field, so where did we get? How did we get? Yeah, so we went to the microwave beam. Now, was this microwave, was it audio? Was it a microwave in sound or EMF?
I don't know what the frequencies were. It was funny because the meter guy says to me, you know, I can give you the frequencies. I said, you know, back then I would have been really interested. I said, now it's kind of like, you know, beyond me. I mean, I told him, I said, I knew I was a state of the art in the 70s. You know, nowadays I can honestly say I'm a novice at what they've really gotten to. So I can't answer that. But, I think maybe to make it clear what we're talking about to our audience, and this might be helpful, because when we talk electromagnetics, we're talking, there are good electromagnetic fields. I mean, Earth itself has an electromagnetic field. It's called the Schumann resonance field. And you've heard me tell about the astronauts, the Soviet astronauts that went up into space on long duration.
That's
and they
right.
came back crazy.
That's right.
Because
we talked about that last week.
Right.
One of the interesting things is that the Philadelphia experiment used that frequency.
Which frequency? Schumann?
Yeah, it runs at 7.83 hertz.
Yes, the Philadelphia did. That's why it was so
powerful.
Damaging.
And because it was like, you know, If you sing the note of A next to a guitar string, the note of a guitar string will start singing back. So, say you've got a building that resonates to a C, and you go into it and sing a C, it'll go, whoa! You know, it'll really catch the frequency of it. So, if you do that, if you do something to the Earth, that kind of thing, the Earth will ring, and you might end up with earthquakes, eh? Maybe that's
yes.
how they make earthquakes.
Yes. Well, interestingly enough, I found a website that gets really into EMF, and this person that is writing it talks about the fact that what the NASA, and I've said this, that NASA is putting these things on the spacecraft so that they can maintain an artificial Schumann resonance field. And they actually call it the Schumann simulator. That's what they're calling the thing. And it puts out a magnetic pulse, generates a magnetic pulse to mimic the Earth's frequencies. So the Schumann resonance field, if you can maintain that at all times, then you are going to be in the perfect environment for your human and animal bodies. And that, I think, is what's happening with shungite. Is that it's actually modulating the bad stuff that's coming off of the electromagnetic everything. And it's not stopping it, it's not blocking it, it's not absorbing it. It's actually modulating it back to a Schumann resonance. When we were taking the test, and I'll tell you, this guy was, he was very, very good. He had all sorts of metering equipment. And I didn't go with him to do all the testing, but he was all over the house, and I kept hearing the meters going off and making the bad sounds. And I'm like, with the person who owned the house, and I'm going like, this is not good. And you know, so finally he'd gone through the house, he took her, he walked her through, he told her all the stuff that was happening in it, and then we tested the shungite. And I said to him, I said, if I'm right, I don't think you're going to get a meter on this. I said, because I don't think it blocks it, I don't think it absorbs it, but I do know the Russians are using it, and the Russians don't use anything if they don't understand it. And so he says, what do you think is happening? And I said, I think that the bad electromagnetic signal is being remodulated to be okay. And he said, let's test it. And so we put it down, and sure enough, it did nothing. He did nothing. But I kept playing with it, you know. And I'm going to tell you, this meter guy couldn't get one of these pendants on him fast enough. He said, look, even if we can't meter it, if it's helping people, we need it. So, and I gave him a bunch of shungite, and I said, look, the Russians believe in it. I have to believe in it. See if you can figure some way of measuring it. And he was like, are you sure you want to give me all this? I said, please, you're doing us a service. You know, just play with it. See what you can find out about it. But to tell you that now, see, I had this, I went into the same business in the 80s, testing houses for electromagnetic pollution. After I got out of the military, I started a business, but nobody would listen to me because, you know, nobody wanted to hear about it.
Because you were ahead of your time so far. When was that? How many years ago?
Well, let's see. It was 83, four time frame. So 80s, 90s, yeah, almost 25 years ago.
Yeah, so you're 25 years ahead of your time.
Apparently. But what they have now, I mean, at that point, all I could do, well, like, let me give you an example. I went into one house and the room, I had three different meters, and every meter just went off the chart. And I said, what have you got in here doing this? And it turned out to be an antique lamp that I guess it was in the wiring. Even when it was off, it was creating this terrible field. One lamp was
connected to the live.
I don't even know what it was, to be honest with you.
It probably reversed, and it would then radiate 50 hertz or 60 hertz in your case.
Well, yeah, that would have done it. So I just told the guy, I said, just tear out the wire in it and rewire it, you know, and you should be all right. But there was very little I could actually do to protect them from something, except to say, okay, this is where your pollution is, move your bed away from it. This is where the pollution is, don't let your kids sit in behind your refrigerator, because, you know, they always have the refrigerator against a wall, and on the other side of the wall is the dining room table, and the kids are doing their homework, and they're getting blasted by the really bad low-level radiation coming off of refrigerators. So, you know, don't let your kids work here, take them here, you know, but you could point to the different spots in the room, that, you know, in a given house that were a problem. But you couldn't hardly do anything about it. And now this guy had an 8x10 piece of, it was white. It was white polyester with silver wire in it. Tiny silver threads in this 8x10 sheet of It was about $100. And my friend took it and wrapped me in this thing. Oh, Jay, it was astounding. It was like all of a sudden there was absolutely no crap.
No.
Oh, it was like, I mean, I would make clothes out of this stuff.
Well, exactly. That's another line that you could get into if you make clothes.
Oh, my God.
This, you know, we're looking towards a much more energetic future. We're looking at a much more ultraviolet sun. We're looking at a much more EMF bombarded world, you know, whether it be this or that. You know, we're never going to stop the Wi-Fi, so why not mitigate it? Now, what we've found is that shungite is like a ground. It's like a lightning rod to energy. It draws energy. Actually, you know what I'd like to see? You know one of those ionic lamps? The things, you put your hand on it and the little electric sparks come out from the center. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Yeah. I understand the theory, but I didn't know they made a little thing like that.
No, I mean, they're like, you can get them in the local toy store there now, you know. I can't remember the names of these things. Somebody is going to be sitting in the chat room going, ha, you idiot, I'm going to tell you what it is. But anyway, it's filled with a noble gas, and there's an electrode in the middle, and it generates a very high but weak voltage, so that when you put your hand on the glass globe, sparks, plasma sparks, jump from the center to the outside, and it will follow your hand. Now, I'd like to see what shungite does. I imagine that it would be more intense than the hand if you had a piece of that. That would be an interesting thing. So, more ways of checking what shungite does. But yeah. like we're saying, you know, the bubbles, when you stick, all right, so it's a very simple thing. You take a glass of water, and you drop a piece of shungite into it, or several, and after a while, there'll be bubbles of water, bubbles of something, bubbles of gas, all along the edge of the glass. But there'll be a gap between where the shungite is and where the bubbles start, as if there's a kind of a bubble field around the shungite. And that's where I think you could see, that's one influence, because it's tiny pieces of dust that cause that gasifying. I think the main point is what shungite does is it causes energy to coil, and it coils in different directions, and it's the same as when a river runs through pebbles. Pebbles are round, and they eventually end up round if they are. And what happens is that the water takes a spin. And because of the way things are, some of it will spin to the left and some of it will spin to the right. And that combination of left and right spin is what gives it its life. And when you put water in a straight pipe, it kills that spinning, that vortex movement. So
he said for 100 feet, it only took 100 feet of a straight pipe to kill the water.
That's right. That's what Clayton Nolte was telling us.
Yeah.
So if we imagine that water and energy behave the same way as things that flow, then we can presume that A, gas will do the same, and B, that energy will do the same and will prefer to be in a kind of spinny, ropey kind of thing as opposed to a random scattering. They prefer to be together and to hold hands, as it were, as opposed to finding their own way through the ethers. Am I personifying them too much? Maybe not.
No. I think you got it exactly. What we also found out was that if you got one big piece of shungite, it's probably not as effective as smaller pieces put together in a clumping. It's an intuition thing. It's like, you know.
That sounds like surface area. Surface area.
Well, I'm not so sure if it's surface area or it's that each little piece has its own individual field. One big piece has one big field. And that if you have a bunch of small fields, that these fields are interacting with one another and intensifying themselves, resonating.
That's right. They'll probably create a standing wave. They're like got ripples around them. So yeah. Imagine putting several. Now, let's have a quick look back at the chat room, because there were some questions that seem to be now relevant. So let's see if I can put mine back. Here we go. This is from Trixie, Beatrix. Has Nancy ever put shungite on areas of the body that need healing? I have to say, my girlfriend, Nikki Wolfbaby, is a crystal healer and did as soon as I got this stuff, she said, lay it on me, brother. Have you ever used this for healing parts? Apart from, of course, you hang it around your dog's neck and he was dying and he's not dying anymore.
I have not done it because I don't really have anything that was bothering me to do it. But a friend of mine who had shungite, pendant, was having a bad backache, and I said, take the pendant off and put it over the area. And she said it didn't take very long at all before she was feeling much better, noticeably better. So, I would highly... Well, they actually have a salve, a shungite salve. You can buy it on Amazon for joint aches. And I was... I'm not sure if I saw this someplace or I'm just thinking about it, because you know how you put a heat pad on yourself, you know? Well, maybe we should make some of these pads that have shungite in them.
Absolutely. So
you just put it on and strap it. I mean, I don't know how good the salve is, but I bet that if you just took, something with cloth and you put a series of shungite pieces in it, and then you could just wrap it or whatever was giving you trouble, I bet that would be very effective.
Well, the first thing that came to mind once Nikki did this is why not you take two pieces of calico and you do a stitch and you you do like a dozen stitch or 10 stitches in a row, and then you make little pockets.
Yep.
So you make stitches, you sew it along, you drop some shungite in, you make another stitch, and it will build up a matrix of pieces, and so that's what they call a crystal grid. So you could make a mat that is any size you like. We could do geometric forms. If anybody wants one, I can make one for you. Or Nancy could make one for you. I'm sure you're probably a little
Nancy's going to be making pendants, apparently.
Oh, is she?
Hopefully, you remember I told you last night, I said, when I told you guys last week that I was trying for the first. Well, the shop was actually, the products were in it and everything, but then I had to think about shipping and about all sorts of other things that, getting the payment set up and everything, and I got slower and slower dealing with these details, and then it was sort of like all done. And yesterday, I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, I'm grumpy, and I'm like, why are you grumpy? And I realized that it was because I was about to push the publish button on the store, and I knew when I pushed that button, my life would no longer be my own. I'd lose control because. If I'm going to put this store up, I'm going to have customers. The customers are now going to dominate what I do in a given day. So, my friend Cindy was over, and I'm going like, oh, push that button. She said, push the button. So I pushed the button. And she said, you can always take it down. And I said, I don't think Guy will let me if it's working. But so I pushed the button. And like I say, within 45 minutes of me pushing the button, we got our first customer. So obviously, this is something that is absolutely needed. And I feel that the main component it does is it balances just fields of energy. Whatever it is, if it's a human body and an animal's body, they're finding now when I got a new batch of shungite, instead of just washing it off, I go to the garden and I wash it off in the garden so that all of whatever's on it, the dust and everything, ends up in the garden. When I might have a half a glass that I forgot to drink or let, I don't throw that down the drain. I go out and put it on a plant. It's to me, this is a sacred thing that Gaia has given us, a gift from Gaia. And the more we look, the more the stuff does.
Hey, check this out. I just got a message from. They're not even going to hear this in a second. This is from Willpower in the chat room, and he's just. It's an artist supply source. I'll just copy that in your chat box here, so you can see it. But it's shungite paint.
Yes.
Rublev Colors Carbon Black Shungite 4-ounce jar. They've done it for you.
Yeah.
It's intensely black. And it's a natural composite, crystalline silica playing with a carbon matrix. So it's a combination of carbon and silicon, and you can paint it on things. Now, while we're on the subject of painting things and coating things and covering things, the next question comes in about smart meters, and presumably you've come across the smart meter, you know, movement that it's like this is emitting far too much energy. Like we're saying, you know, it's the whole Philadelphia experiment, you know, overzealous energetics that are dirty. Can shungite help with that, or can we use like this Faraday cage? Is it possible to make a Faraday cage? Maybe can we make one out of aluminium foil?
If you go out and you just Google on Faraday cages and smart meter, there's all sorts of different versions of it. There is somebody manufacturing something that they say will the details of the smart meter I can't tell you exactly, but the problem with a smart meter isn't just the fact that it's your regular electric meter on your house that is seeing how much electricity you're using so that they can bill you. Then it sends a radio signal to the power company that tells them that, okay, you use this much energy. So now they don't have to use the people coming in and spending the money on hiring people to walk up to your house to take the reading. But what they've added to it is a signal that, and it was really weird because the guy was measuring it. We were waiting for it. I said, what are you waiting for? He said, well, the smart meter is going to send out a signal that's going to essentially analyze everything that's happening inside your house. And I did not know that. And all of a sudden, the meter went, wah! And I said, that was it. And he said, yeah, that's it. And that's what's really damaging. So, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, I mean, because the Faraday, I don't know. The basic point is I don't know. But I do believe that if you put shungite into the system anywhere, it will change the modulation of those bad things into the Schumann field resonance, and it's not going to hurt you. Can I prove that? No. Do the Russians believe it? I think so, because we could not see it blocking or absorbing the energy, and they're spending a lot of time and money building things with shungite, claiming, you know, the claim that, well, it blocks the electromagnet. No, well, we don't see that, but they know. See, they are so attuned to what happens at the DNA level that they have measurements that will be able to say, look, you stuck the shungite here, and you don't see the damage to the DNA. And I think that that's where they've gone with it, is that they understand the healing aspects of it. And so to tell somebody, if you put shungite in your paint, it's going to protect you from EMF fields, they're going to say, well, how's that happening? So you're going to explain it, well, it remodulates it to Schumann. You're going to say, it blocks it. You know, so to me... Well, you felt the shift in the field. Anybody that is anywhere near energy sensitive, if you just take a piece of shungite and put it on a router, anything that's on, you're going to feel a shift in the field. And it's a happy thing. I mean, I feel happy. I mean, I walk into some houses and I virtually shut down everything around me. I try to just put all my, pull my energy in and make a blocking thing. It just is an automatic reaction to all of the bad crap that I feel in other places. I live on a piece of property that is surrounded by an acre of property, surrounded by other acres of property, with no Wi-Fi cell towers, nothing around us. And I have no Wi-Fi here. So I'm living in the, you know, the old world without Wi-Fi. And people come to this house and they always have the same reaction. Why do I feel so good here? Because you're not in the crap. You know, and but with the Shungite, it's like, I'm telling you, it's Gaia's gift. It will protect us from all this bad stuff. And you know, I'm a big enough conspiracy buff to believe that the powers that be, in some cases, knowingly have done this to hurt people.
Well, here's the thing: if you take an electric guitar and plug it in, and you turn the amp to say 2 or 3. You get a very nice, clean sound, soft sound. It's pleasant to listen to. It's soft on the ear. If you turn it up, the more you turn it up, the more you put the gain on, the more it introduces distortion. And by the time it gets to 11, it's very, very distorted and producing a lot of extraneous frequencies, sprogs, as we call them on the radio. And so, Shungite, bring it back to a clean signal. That's all I can say. Let's talk about how it does that. We'll talk about lots of other things. Don't go away. Stay with us. Studio B, revolution-radio.com.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back.
Yes, indeed. Shungite is all the rage now. We've started a fashion. It's going to go viral. It might even go postal. And so we're looking at pieces of Shungite placed in various strategic positions in various things. We're talking in the chat room here about making... I'm trying to find a good name for it. Orgo Shungite? Shungorgonite? I don't know. Orgo Shungite sounds a bit... It's a bit of a mouthful. But I'm sure I'll find out. Make a fancy nice name for it. But essentially, we're talking about a material that does what Orgonite seems to do as well. So perhaps a combination of the two would be... Well, I don't know. It might be good. It might, you know, sometimes it might cancel. They might cancel each other out. Or they may refine the energies. Because, like I'm saying, this seems to do the same thing to energy as Clayton Nolte's tiny little spherical. I mean, basically, you take a whole bunch of spherical or ovoid shapes and filter your water through that, and that's what makes structured water. That's how, and then, yeah, if you use a funnel or something like that. But essentially, that's the whole trick, is you get it to spin, and because that's what a river does. You look at what a river does, bringing water down, and the water flows left and right, and that's why the water's alive. So, Nancy L. Hopkins, good afternoon. It's evening for you still as well. So yes, bye bye. Yeah, mosquito. In the room. Nancy.
Yes.
Where were we? We were talking about what... So the question comes, which is, if I put a piece of Shungite under the ground, they were asking, if you took a piece of Shungite and buried it in the ground under a smart meter, would that be helpful? Or can we put it somewhere near it?
Just put it on top of it. Just stick it on top of it. We found that within 4 inches of Shungite entering into an area of like a router, the friend was reaching, putting it on the router, and 4 inches away, myself and another person in the room went, "Whoa, it jumped. That you could feel the energy shift completely. So, you know, the basic thing is I suspect if you went to your fuse box and you put it on top of the fuse box itself, that because what the weird thing about what people don't really appreciate about their electric system is that the field given off by your basic electric system, the wiring, okay, can be from 4 to 15 feet away from that stuff. The average is about 4 to 6 feet. So anywhere in a room, you're within the field of an electric wire. Now, when you got Wi-Fi, it's a totally different, you know, frequency, and there's really no limit to what happens there. But this stuff is so, even the meter guy was saying, you know, how difficult it is to, like for instance, at one part of the house, through the windows, was coming a really bad power signal from the window. Now, the concrete itself was blocking quite a bit of it, but the window was no blockage to it at all. So, to stop that, you put this material up like drapes, and it'll stop the emissions coming from the really bad cell tower things. But the woman that I asked you to put a link on chat on the chat box, because this, I think it's a woman, it might be a guy, but maybe it's a guy, because this I had never thought about this one. Is was smart meter. Okay, so it's a smart meter. Just I think in my heart that if you put it on the fuse box where it's coming into the house directly where on the other side of the wall, if you just put shungite on that, everything will change. And you don't need a big piece of shungite. But I do believe that to maintain and continually recharge, you should have a grouping of them. That if they're in a group, they continually recharge each other. It's almost like the quantum energy generator. It's like once you get the resonance going, then it keeps feeding itself. One by itself may not be as powerful when you're working with the electric and the Wi-Fi signals. Your pendant is probably going to be all right. Although in one case, somebody complained that they felt like it wasn't charged, and so I said, okay, and I just stuck it on another piece of shungite and handed it back, and they went, oh. They said, that fast? I said, sure. It's like a string that needs to be re-twanged. That's all. Twang it, you know? So, you know, we'll find out more. More of these pendants get out there. People, I don't feel the problem. I don't feel like mine are discharging at all. But then again, I've got two of them on, you know, and I've got the ring on. So maybe they're feeding each other. This could be, I feel like every piece of shungite is locked into the field in Russia. But, you know, these little guys, they're fighting a really intense battle out there, trying to convert that electromagnetic into the Schumann resonance, and so that no longer hurt us. Gaia does not want us hurt. This is why she gave us this.
It's really the battle of the wave. It's square versus sign, or distortion versus order. It's May. It's a month early. The midges are a month early. Hell has begun. Oh, well. Now, this is another thing. I'm going to have to work out some technology to deal with midges. Because
what are midges?
Shungite ain't going to do it.
What is midges?
A midgie, imagine a mosquito scaled down so it's almost invisible. In fact, it is invisible. When it bites you, you can't feel it because it injects an anesthetic. Which everybody's allergic to, particularly me. The only time you feel it is like several seconds after it's left, and you think it's on you. It's a tiny little bit. So you slap that bit, but it's long gone. and the little an anesthetic makes the whole thing swell up like a huge mosquito bite. So they're invisible, blood-sucking vampire mother.
Well, take a piece of shungite and just rub it over the area that's bothering you. Maybe it will help. I ain't gonna deny the opportunity for shungite to tell me something new at all.
Well, there you go. We can try that. Okay, a fuse boxes is a fuse box. We do have fuse boxes. Okay, yeah. So they're all saying, you know, they live in an apartment where they're not near the smart meter.
Okay. Then just put it on your router.
Anything that's on your router. That would be.
Just anything that's on all the time. Because once it starts to change, it changes so fast and changes everything in the room, house, you know, I mean, it's like, all I can say is that, you know, give it a try. If you don't remember that you're feeling better, then if you have health problems, then it didn't work. But if you suddenly realize you haven't been sick and you don't seem to ache and you're waking up happier, well, don't say, you know, thank you, whoever. Say, thank you, shungite. Thank you, Gaia, for the gift you gave us, that you're protecting us. Because that's exactly how I feel about this. I say in the shop that it's a sacred honor to work with this stuff. And, you know, I just hope that most people will at least give it a chance, at least test it, because everybody else out there is testing it. And I've got Cosmic Reality, I've got a blog I'm putting up. I'm going to take all the research that we've been uncovering and try to synthesize it down so that it's more accessible and understandable, because there is just so much of it.
Sure you can, as you know, given all your training, produce a full status report.
I'm hoping to, because like I say, to me this is a very critical thing, because once you are free of the damaging effects of all this radiation that's ongoing, your brain is going to start working better, you're going to start feeling better, and you know, one of the things that, let's just take a couple minutes just to run down the things that we're talking about, electro emissions, you know, what is it that we're really talking about? Because once you start focusing on it, you realize that it's everything and everywhere. First of all, of course, we've been talking about the electric, and that's anything that's electric. Your appliances in your kitchen, your microwave, lamps, air conditioners, electric blankets, your phone chargers, laptop, everything that's electric, now you've got that field. Okay? And that field is doing damage to you at all times. What this person who wrote that, and it's on the best-emf-health.com. That's emf-health.com. This person was, bought some kind of an electric, tractor thing. It had some kind of, what did she call this thing now? Okay, and she said it's the magnetic radiation, because you all have a magnetic field. And a magnetic field is always there when you've got an electric field. But a magnetic field can be intensified when you've got a spin in the motion of the electrons, which is what you get when you use a gas-powered engine, like your riding mower, your weed eaters, golf carts, you know, motorcycles, cars, jackhammers. She found somebody that came down with cancer in the winter months when he was using a jackhammer all winter during, you know, doing work. She herself came down with, breast cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancer after 2 to 3 weeks of daily use of a lawnmower that was a gas lawnmower that had a zero turn. It was spinning. So she's sitting on top of this thing for weeks, and all of this pollution is going through her system, and she suddenly develops all this cancer. And she was smart enough or lucky enough to realize that this all had to do with ELMF. She studied it. This is her website that I'm talking, you know, about right now. And she studied it, and she has found ways of getting rid of this stuff out of her environment, and in fact, has beaten the cancer, but she has to keep fighting it, because what she's come to realize is that our bodies are like a glass. And radiation is one of those things that it doesn't go away. You know, you might take a toxin into your system, and your system might flush it out, but your body can't really flush out radiation. So what it does is it takes it in and it tries to deal with it. She said, but at some point, that glass is filled and your body can no longer deal with it. And she said, sometimes it can happen very quickly, like what happened to me using the zero-turn lawnmower for, you know, weeks at a time. So there's all sorts of generations of these fields that we may not even appreciate. I mean, I did not know this. It never even occurred to me that a gas lawnmower could be dangerous this way. But you can either have it dropped into a little bit at a time, or you can have it put in there with a tremendous amount of speed, you know, like just dousing yourself with it. And that is what is really happening when you start to deal with medical procedures. All of those medical procedures, you know, the x-rays, the CAT scan, all of this stuff is putting radiation into your body. The dental x-ray, everything is putting, and it doesn't go away. So if you continually are going and having yourself radiated in one form or another for a medical reason, you may be doing more damage than you can even imagine. So be very careful. You know, if you've had an x-ray or a CAT scan from one doctor, and you go to another doctor and that doctor wants to repeat that test, you're going to have to fight the system, but don't let them do it to you. They've got the information. I'm not saying that these things don't give you great information about the inside of the body and not to use them, but I'm saying take charge of your life. If you just had that x-ray and somebody wants to x-ray you again, fight it. Because every time you run into these things, they end up in your body, and your body can only adjust and deal with a limited amount. So, you know, I mean, okay, so we've got the medical stuff that's really bad for you. And we talked about the magnetic being that, you know, the spinning can create bigger, tougher magnetic fields. Fluorescent lights can create magnetic fields, and they can actually follow a fluorescent light that's putting out a large magnetic field can actually, the magnetic field can actually flow along the electric system. So you can have one fluorescent light that is now radiating even beyond the magnetic field of the light itself, because it's following the electric lines in your house. And of course we got the wireless. Now the wireless is something that I honestly have fought with the cell phones and the baby monitors and the remote phones until I got to the point where I started talking. Nobody's listening to me. They're all just burning their brains out. My brother was involved with radar. He was a year younger than I was. He was involved in radar with the Navy, and I tried to tell him how dangerous it was. And I said to one of my sisters, I said, you know, I don't think he's going to live to be very old. She said, why? I said, because I know what he's playing with, and it's going to kill him. And he died of a brain cancer directly attributable to electromagnetic when he was 55. So this is a very personal question to me, and it just freaks me out when my own family that saw it happen to my brother allow their children to be playing with cell phones. And not only, and I've seen babies holding these phones playing little games to keep them occupied. You're killing your kids. I can't tell you enough. You're killing your kids. Now, people that know that I've written Cosmic Reality, cosmicreality.net, know that I have spent a lifetime just trying to figure out what's wrong and what's right and what can we do about it. And I also believe in the rules of cosmic reality that say that reality is what you think it is. And one of the things that I think reality is that if there is a problem, then there is a solution. I believe it so firmly. The problem is that everything that makes our civilization go right now is dependent upon electronics, electromagnetic energy, on Wi-Fi, on microwave, on the x-rays and the CAT scans and all these other things that they do to you in a medical environment. All these things, I can't fight this. And yet, at the end of Cosmic Reality, I came to a realization, and I honestly did not have it when I started the book. That's why I can support the book so intently. It taught me so much. Yes, I wrote it, but I was guided to the information and to the conclusions. And the conclusion I came to was that we have a local God, a local creator God, that I call Gaia. Other people think in terms of Earth Mother. I was pleading with her, give me something to stop this. And the next thing I know, I'm being introduced to Shungite. Shungite is well known in the European countries, the East European countries, and France is very big. Over here, there are people that understand it and know about it, but I didn't know about it, and I was in the mineral business for many decades. And I'm continually with people who are still, you know, buying and selling and introducing. And even the person that gave it to me, who was very much out there, she knows what's coming up. She knows what they're talking about. You know, it was only this spring that it was introduced. So, I mean, it's like, this is a gift. And it's got magical properties, but they're only magical because we don't understand the science behind it. And I put a video link up on the blog I'm writing about the Shungite, and it's this crazy ass looking scientist that's talking about the buckyball and the, you know, the Shungite stuff. But the reality is that this thing is giving the chemists a lot of fits and starts. And the one guy that was showing different experiments said, we figure we can do something with it, and then we go to do it and find out we can't, but then we find out we can do other stuff. You know, and they're all very excited about it. When scientists get excited about something, you know, then we should get excited. Now, again, what we're talking about, we can't exactly totally prove it by the science that I have access to. But I guarantee you, if the Russians are using it, if they are putting it in rooms, in their military hospitals to heal people, then they believe it. And they've got the way of understanding it, because they've mapped out the DNA internet within our own bodies, the light internet, the system of light energy that operates everything. So, yeah, Shungite to the masses is all I can say. So we got the wireless, and wireless is everything. I mean, your computer, your mobile phones, your laptops, your palm computers, the towers and the routers, the GPS that provide the military and fire, baby monitors. Oh my God, the baby monitor in that house was just terrible. The remote phone thing is terrible. And one of the worst things that I ever saw in my life, seriously, worst things I ever saw in my life, was this woman who was pregnant and bedridden. And she had a laptop sitting on top of her belly where that baby was trying to grow. And I mean, I jumped up from the chair and I was screaming. Because, I mean, she's bringing a child into this life. And she's got one of the most dangerous devices designed by man sitting over that baby. I was stunned. I was, you know. So please, people, I know it's not easy. I mean, I gave up talking because I didn't have any solutions. Now I got a solution. Try shungite. Just try it, try it, try it. You know, the more we try it, the more it works, the more it works, the more we try it, the reality has changed. Reality is what we think it is. We needed a majority consensus here. The Russians believe it. The Eastern Europeans believe it. The French believe it. Let's believe it in the United States. We believe it in the United States. We can shut down all this bad shit that they've got up there, that they're trying to control us with, that they're trying to kill us with. And I don't want to hear about, oh, well, it's all for the good of man. We got these cell phones. No. You know it's bad. Every single cell phone instructions manual you get will say, keep the phone 5/8 of an inch away from your head. 5/8 of an inch. How many times have you done that? Well, you never see it because it's in the tiniest print. But why do they put it there? Because they damn well know that this is killing energy. So, sorry I got a little emotional there, but I'm really getting tense when I think about this because I know people are dying for no damn reason. And give shungite a try. CosmicReality.net. I'm sure we're going to run out of it. I've got more to put up. I did find them. Yesterday I had misplaced like a whole bunch of pendants, but I did find them today. And my friend who helped me look for them, she says, they weren't there. I know they weren't there, so I don't know why they hit them, but they did. And we will work as fast as we can to keep this store stocked. Like I say, when I pushed that publish button, I knew my life was going to, you know, be now under the dictate of shungite, and who needs it? And I am honored to have that sacred mission.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to be sourcing some more and hopefully get some from Germany, which is not that far away from here, not as far as it is to Florida. So hopefully it'll be delivered quite swiftly over here, eh?
Yes. Do you want me to order it for you? I will.
We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about, you know, because details. So this is
no, but it's just so important that, you know, it's like anybody can go out there and do what I'm doing, and but the thing of it is that myself and the people that are working with this consider it a sacred honor. So from the minute that it gets here, we honor it. And we make the connection with Gaia. And I had a friend, I sent her a pendant of shungite. It was a good sized hunk of shungite. And she's one of the most qualified psychics I know. You wouldn't even know her because she doesn't publish. She doesn't want to be known, really. But she is extraordinarily intuitive. And so I sent it to her, and, you know, then she got the stuff that I had made, and she said to me, she called me up, and she said, this is 100 times more powerful than the shungite you originally gave me. And I said, I know, because we don't mess with it. It's raw. All we do is we pick it up, we thank Gaia, we look at it, we say, what kind of wire do you want on it? You work with a stone, you work with a wire, you wrap the thing up, and you consider it a sacred object. And that makes all the difference because you have intention. Intention is something pure. Something is a gift. So, you know, anybody can, but if you're going to do it right, you have got to be sacred about the way you do it. Otherwise, you just got a rock out there that you're trying to make money off of. If you do it for the reasons that we're doing it, because shungite to the masses is a mission given to me by Gaia. If we can get it out there, if we can get it all over the planet, we will then give Gaia a circuitry that is going to help her grow faster. And if she grows faster, we grow faster. And I do believe that enough of this out there, that the new earth, which is in a different frequency than the one we're in right now, that the new earth will be drawn even quicker into the position of space and place where all of a sudden it's what's going to dominate and it's what's going to be the reality, the new earth. And I believe that shungite is Gaia's gift to us, but by our getting it out there, it will act as an intensifier of the new earth frequency in the new earth, the one where there's just goodness and love and joy and happiness and not too much drama, I suspect. Might be a little boring, but I'll take boring. But it's going to be a place where we really begin to understand the intricacies and the blessedness of everything around us. It's going to be a wild trip. But I believe that if we put the Shun Guide out there everywhere we can, as quickly as we can, that it will help resonate the environment we're in, the biosphere we're in, so that it'll step up and the new earth will come in with a lot less drama, more gentleness. And that's what I'm working for. Was I a little heavy there? I don't know. Was I?
I didn't want to interrupt you, Nancy.
Sometimes
there,
get
there
into
force majeure there. Force majeure behind that. So, other solutions. You see, because you can. All right. So yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about. Is and I might have mentioned it before, but it's about the phase angle. This. People who have been listening to Strange Universe and my show, kind of, I'm kind of taking some of the ideas that he's putting out there, and some of the guests. And one of the guests was Dr. Ibrahim a couple of weeks ago, who's been placing geometric forms in different places in different towns in order to harmonize the energy. And he just does, you know, just that's all you do. You just put the form there, and it harmonizes the energy, he says. And the reason it harmonizes the energy is because of the angles between the pieces, between the edges of the form. Those angles are, to use William Stilling's word, congenial to energy taking on a spiral form as opposed to a chaotic form. So it's like it gets drawn into the spiral. So say you've got, for instance, a pyramid sitting on the ground. And your energy is going along straight away, and it hits the edge of the pyramid, and it's deflected upwards. That angle is just the right angle that sets it off to start it spinning. It's a bit like that car in that James Bond movie when he drives up and lifts up the car, and the car goes down that little narrow alleyway sideways. Because he's just lifted up the car, because he's just got the angle right. Or actually, they put loads of weights in the door so that the car would go on. Anyway, the idea is that it sets it off into a spin that is congenial to the spin of the energy itself. So when your energy hits the Shungite, it tends to clump it. It will. If this is what happens, this is what happens to water, and it clumps together. So what it's doing when you drink the water out of Shungite or any of these water conditioning things, you have I'm trying to think of the word. It creates dual motion. It creates left spin and right spin, and that's what Clayton calls
it's a torsion field. Really,
it creates a torsion field, and torsion field is life itself. When you have Shungite in the local atmosphere, it does that on an energetic level. It'll do it with water, but it does it with everything around it. It just does it. That's the nature of this stuff. perhaps it's important that this stuff is on the planet. Well, what kind of pattern does it make? Is it likely that it was like one big thing that split into loads of bits and then landed on the Earth?
No, it seems to be contained within 1,000 square miles. It's just like my first inkling was that it was something from, because they found fullerenes, which is the C60 in the Shungite, but they also found fullerenes in a meteorite hit in Canada, and they find it in space. They're now finding it in space. So they found it in two gold mines, one in Canada and one in Russia. But the big fullerene deposit is in Shungite, And it's in this one, only this one place. So my first inclination was to think that it had come from outer space and smacked into Earth, and that, you know, the Russians who lived in the area just happened to be lucky they were living in Shanghai. And, but then myself, I started to meditate on it, and I didn't get that picture at all. I got a picture of it coming up from inside the molten area of like a great big gob of it, you know, just coming up from the center of Gaia, of Earth herself, and being pushed to the surface. And that was the image that I got. And then the more I learned about fullerene and the space connection, and I mean, you got to understand that you've got this ball, like a soccer ball, and inside that thing, it can hold an atom. You've got a molecule that can hold stuff inside it. It can hold all sorts of gases inside the molecule. Now, if you can hold gases and you can hold atoms, you must be able to hold the chemistry for life. And I think that that's what started life on Earth. It was a meteorite strike. But it was a meteorite strike that went, it must have been huge. Maybe, I only knows how huge it could have, but it must have been huge. And it must have gone right through this, all this molten metal and stuff that the gases, you get a ball of gas, the gas starts to spin, the gas starts to solidify. At that point, it's hit with this whack of this shungite thing from outer space carrying the fullerenes. Well, it was a fullerene, whatever hit it, and probably started life, that it was carrying inside the fullerenes the very chemistry of life. I think it was more than even the chemistry of life. I think it was the light spirit energy of life.
I think
it's the seed of life.
The seed of life is portrayed as a sphere that expands into two and then six, and then that opens up to become the flower of life, which is on the temple of Obidos in Egypt. And it's dated at more than 10,000 years old, and it was burned in with a laser. Yeah, I think they get it. They got it.
We forgot it. And then when they started remembering it, they kept it from the people, from the masses. Because, you know, it was funny, because when I said, because I'm military-minded, I was trained that way, and I've had past lifetimes as a military person, so I just have a lot of this way of thinking. And so I said to a guy, I said, okay, so what's my mission statement? And she said, Shungite to the masses. And I questioned the word masses, but she said, what's the next word you think of? And I said, massive. Oh, massive. She says, try people. What's the next word you think of? So it's masses. If we can understand this, if we can be freed of all this stuff that's keeping us imprisoned, so that we can evolve into the people that we really should be, you know, we are a massive force. How's anybody going to control that?
That's the thing. Every piece is quantum connected. So whenever any piece of Shanga is quantum connected, quantum entangled, they call it, which basically means that you can tune in. If you tune into it, you can tune into any other person who's got one of those same things. So it's like a kind of, almost a bit like an internet for telepathy. And so any piece of shungite would be connected to other pieces because they all came from the one mother piece. Same with crystals. You can do the same with crystals. It's called quantum entanglement. Anyway, we have a question from Beatrixie. Can shungite help with nuclear radiation? Any info on that?
Yes. I know it can. I can't prove it. I haven't tested it, but yes.
Probably crush it up and make concrete with it.
Well, again, if you're wearing it, if your house is being fed shungite energy, any energy that's outside of the house is trying to come in, as it enters the field of the shungite, is going to be transformed into good energy. It's a nullification process. It just, you know, okay, throw it at me. Boing, boing. I'm so strongly committed to it that I don't think that there's anything that could come into a field of shungite and hurt you. It's gonna be transformed. But again, this is not something I can you know document, except to tell you the Russians know something more than I do. I've been chasing the Russians all my life. What do they know now? What do they know now? And they're using it. They're using it in their water. All of their water purification now has gone from pure carbon into shungite. The elite now, in some of the veins in the field there are certain veins where for whatever reason it's almost more crystalline. It's not black, it's like brown gold. It's very brittle. You can't work it. It's called elite. And in the you get a 35 to about a 60% fluorine in the shungite. But in the elite, you're at 95% fluorine. So it's extraordinarily powerful for putting fluorines in the water. And it's the fluorines in the water. The fluorines, what they do, again, the buckyball. Well, buckyball, fluorine, it's the same thing. The fluorine is called...
Fullerene, not fluorine.
I'm sorry, fluorine.
Because you're saying fluorine, and it's like...
I know. Correct.
Yeah, somebody corrected me and said it was a Buckminster fullerene, but we call it fullerene.
It is Buckminster fullerene because it's like two geodesic domes on top of each other, the buckyball, or the Buckminster fuller ball. But we call it the buckyball. Fullerene is what the chemists always call it. And the fullerenes, what they do when they get in the water is that because of this internal ability, it seems like they gobble up all the bad stuff and they transmute it into something that's not harmful. That's in the water. They can prove that. They can put it in the water and they can see the water go clean. Now, they're putting it in all sorts of paints and buildings, building materials, for the electromagnetic. And just because we can't measure it doesn't mean that it's not happening. They know something. They wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be making, you know, massive changes to what they have been doing if they didn't know what it worked. But the elite area of the mines of the field has now been declared a state treasure, a national treasure, which means it's a strategic resource. And they can't mine it anymore. It's under the control of the government. So now, if you got a government that's involved in trying to control the best part of this field, I've seen it in print about three times. Somebody saying, of course, they could be just talking out of their heads, or they could be repeating what they heard, that shungite will eventually be worth more than gold, because they're finding animals living twice the age. They're finding produce grown in it, having yields that are 80% in one case of potatoes. You know, I mean, continually you start hearing these, well, this happened and that happened. And so, like I say, now I've got, you know, another dedicated researcher trying to track down to get to some of these basic source documents to find out, okay, who did it? Because there's so much. There is just so much data and so much of it scientific that you're going like, is it in here? Is it in here? Is it in here? And so, because it really, you'd be bogged down for the rest of your life just trying to read through all this stuff. You start to go through it fast, you know? Where's it talking? And finally you start to get a feeling for, because the Russians have a different way of looking at presenting science, to the world. And the closer you, and because I've studied them all my life, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'll start to feel Russian, feeling of Russian, and then go back and back. I finally found the guy that seems to know what he's talking about. So, yeah, it's an amazing thing. So, yeah, we can prove a lot of the stuff, but we can't prove exactly what I'm saying now. Do I think it will negate any bad radiation that comes towards you, including cosmic? Yes. I think once you develop the field around you, you are extraordinarily protected.
Remember what I was saying before about the glass? You know, the glass of water with the shunga in it. Now, I just picked up my glass of water with the shunga in it. And when I first started doing this, the bubbles started about 2 inches above the surface of the tops of the stones. Now it's about 4 inches. You know, it's quite a tall glass. I mean, it's about a 7-inch glass, but the bubbles are just, there's no bubbles below 4 inches, which means that the field has actually grown of these shunga. Have you heard of that?
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because if you've got an Orgon generator, if you leave it in the same place, you don't move it, the field actually gets bigger and bigger, because it starts working with the Schumann resonance, and it's like everything starts to vibrate, and then it starts feeding itself, and it's vibrating and feeding itself and feeding itself, so the field just keeps increasing. So that's probably what's happening within your entire environment. Now, did you notice that bubbles just today after you put the shungite on your router?
Well, actually, that's interesting whether there's an influence going on there. But I only noticed it, literally, you know, because I've seen it the last few days, and it was just at the, you know, it was, if I picked up the glass, it was about where my middle finger would be. And that's where the bubble started. But today, as we saw, you know, and I just reached back to have a glass of water to drink some. And it's now well beyond my hand, you know, well above the hand where the bubbles have started. It's definitely increased. Now, whether, as you're saying, it's because I've got the router now in a more harmonious state, that it's actually sending out harmony to more and more, and the harmony is becoming more in the glass, so it's creating a place where more harmony can grow. That's been quite interesting, but I still have a headache.
I think your neck's out. I mean, shungite can do a lot of things, but if your skeletal system is whacked, then, you know,
I think my neck's out too.
Gonna be if you can just get somebody to put their hand under your chin in under the back of your skull, you sit low, let them stand and pull up on your neck. Just pull up on your neck. Okay. A lot of times that starts to, I actually have this gizmo that I put under my chin and I put under the, you know, it goes over your head, and then you just let your body weight sag down, and it pulls your neck up.
A sort of neck traction, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking, hanging from the tree. I've got a tree, and it's got a limb that's about six and a half feet off the ground. I might see if I can arrange to hang off that. That might be quite. They call that inversion, don't they?
Yeah. Now, the other thing to test if you do have your neck out is to ice it. You get some ice and you put it on, you know, like an ice pack, and put it on your neck and leave it there, you know, 10 minutes or so, and then see if you have a decrease in pain. If you do, it's because the ice is numbing the nerves that are being pinched because your neck is out. And sometimes you can, there's different exercises you can do, and you might go online and see what I know. I'll see if I can find it for you. But there's exercises you can do that will kind of like get your neck back into shape. But if you use the ice to dull the nerves, then you are decreasing the inflammation. And sometimes your neck has gone out and then it's gone back in, but your nerves have been kind of damaged a little bit, and so they're inflamed. And that gives you a residual headache, even though your neck might be all right now. So to tell if you've got a neck out, just get an ice pack, put it on there for about 10 minutes. If you start to feel the pain come back, or if the pain goes away, you know that's where it's at. If you start to feel it come back, just put the ice on it again. Hopefully, you know, it was something you went and you did something, and then it's okay again. But if there's any way to be able to You know, if you keep having the pain, the only thing I could tell you is chiropractors, chiropractors. I just so believe in them.
Oh, yeah, me too. I just can't afford them.
So, well, I was in so many automobile accidents. I mean, I was in over 25 automobile accidents. And that turned out...
Remind me never to take you as a passenger.
No, that's a long story, but it turned out that, you know, George Patton, who I talk about in Cosmic Reality, was my past lifetime was George Patton. Read the book to figure out how that all happens. But George was assassinated in an automobile accident, and he kept trying to tell me. And so do you think about what kind of mechanism has to be in place to have 25 automobile accidents? I think there's 25. I stopped counting at 20, but I had at least 5 after that. And, you know, I mean, it was like, I wasn't always driving. You know, it was just like, boom, boom, boom. What is this all about? And then I found out about I actually read a report about the guy who got up in front of a civil group or something and said, I assassinated George Patton. And it tells the whole story about the automobile accident. And I went, oh, man, I hope that's the reason you've been trying to tell me this, because without understanding he was actually assassinated, it makes a difference in the story. I'd gone to the same chiropractor for so many times. He said to me, I made enough money off of you. He said, I'm not going to charge you anymore. And God bless him. I mean, because I couldn't afford it. I mean, I'm not in any shape able to afford a chiropractor right now. But a lot of insurance companies are using chiropractors. They will pay for them. So just check into it. Anybody out there that's got a neck ache, put some ice on it. Or if you've got a headache, it's a headache. You think it's in your head. It's not in your head. It's probably in your neck. Put it on your neck. If the pain subsides or goes away, you know it's in your neck.
Oh, I know it's in my neck. I know exactly where it is. It's like the if you imagine the little dimple where between your clavicle bones and go directly back to the spine. That's where it is, and it's on the right hand side of that. So and it's when you turn your head to the right, which is when I look at my screen. Because I've got 3 screens here, and they're like in front of me to my northeast and to my east, and it's looking for that east one that hurts. I can feel that now. So what's this?
Get a swivel chair. Seriously, if that's what you think is causing it, just get a chair that swivels.
No, the better thing is to move the bloody screens.
Well, that works, but you know, Jay, if you think you know what it is, then fix it.
Oh yeah, I know.
Ching, 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 you know?
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing.
I don't want you hurt, God. I don't want you hurt. Nobody wants anybody hurt. You know, fix yourself. Fix the screen.
It's funny. It's just, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be done before I can get around to doing those jobs. You know, there's a whole bunch of other jobs. But, you know, basically what it means is I need to mount everything properly and have the screens mounted up on the wall. Rather than just kind of standing on shelves. Anyway, long story, very boring. Let's have a look. You screwed a U-hook into the baseboard and lay on the floor and moved down to release the pressure. Had like a bungee connected to the chin thingy.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is some device for doing that neck cradling thing. Well, I might just lie down.
Well, no, I mean, you can figure it out yourself. You know, you just got to put something that's kind of resting behind your skull and then underneath your chin that will pull the skull straight up. You know, you don't want your chin going up higher than your back. You want to be completely level and just put pressure on it. And that's why I say even somebody who is just pulling up on your neck, you know, if you're sitting low, you sit low on a stool or something, and let them just pull up, you know, using, just keeping balance, but pushing pressure up. Sometimes that will relieve it enough, and then if you just, you know, move your neck, because a lot of people, they start getting pain and they stop moving their neck, which just compounds the problem. But my chiropractor, he always says to me, have an ice day. So ice it, because sometimes I'm stunned by how fast the ice can help a minor problem, and a major problem at least, you know, help it too.
And sometimes, you know, electronic shops, they sell this thing called freezer spray. It's just like...
No, you got to have that ice, so it's got to get deep into the nerve areas.
Anyway, so we're coming to the end of today's journey. It's been a fascinating journey. Cosmicreality.net, and you'll find Shungite articles. And Shungite, have you got any info about Shungite? Did you say you're gonna put it there?
Yeah, every piece I say, you know, you can go to this blog. I haven't got the blog written yet, but I needed to get the store up, but people were asking for it. So I put the store up. I say, here's the connection to the link to the blog. And as soon as I've got time, I will start putting that. What we're doing now is when I find a really good link, I just add it. So you can at least go and find, you know, research on your own. I'm trying to build that up. As we find good references, I will just link that. At some point when I've got the time, I'll try to, go through it all and make some sense of it.
And the last thing is we do need to be aware and cognizant there are solar energies, there are galactic energies, but there are also energies coming from the Earth herself.
Yeah.
We don't always think about that, but if you know, inside the Earth is a star, it's emitting stuff, you know, it lands mostly as matter, makes the Earth expand, but it's coming through, it comes from up under our feet, through our bodies, up into the heavens. For 4.5 billion years we've been in Earth. Anyway, bless you all, thank you so much, Nancy. We'll continue this journey. Who's with next week? I have no idea. All right, God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you very much. Be safe.